All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton standing in the confessional corner with you. We are now on to the last part of the chief parts, the Lord's Supper, the sacrament of the altar. We're going to use the next couple of weeks to go through the large catechism as Luther talks about and explains the sacrament of the altar and the benefits and the necessity thereof. So this week we're going to look at paragraphs 1 through 32. We'll be beginning in the Concordia of the Reader's Edition, page 431. Just as we have heard about holy baptism, so we must also speak about the other sacrament in these same three points. What is it? What are its benefits? And who is to receive it? And all these points are established through the words by which Christ has instituted the sacrament. Everyone who desires to be a Christian and go to the sacrament should know them. For it is not our intention to let people come to the sacrament and administer it to them if they do not know what they seek or why they come. The words, however, are these. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Everything we need to know about the sacrament of the altar is right here in these words. Jesus took bread, and he took wine, and he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is the new covenant in my blood." This is what we need to know about what is here. All four are there. And then also, it said twice, "This do in remembrance of me." Not just, here we're going to do it once, and you never have to worry about it again, but here it is over and over again. "For as often as you drink it," as he says in the words around the cup, that we want the people to know what it is they come up to communion for. And that is one of the great things that divides us from those who don't come up for communion. That as I grew up in the Church of Christ, it was that the ushers passed around the plates with the matzah crackers and the grape juice, and we took it in the pews. Now, there's a completely different thing because, well, this is not us coming up to receive something from God. This is something that we just have to do because God says, as often as you do it, that you must do it regularly. And as we'll point out later, what does frequently mean? We'll see what that means. All right, picking up in paragraph 4. "Here also we do not wish to enter into controversy and fight with the defamers and blasphemers of this sacrament, but to learn first, as we did with baptism, what is of the greatest importance. The chief point is God's word and ordinance or command. For the sacrament has not been invented nor introduced by any man. Without anyone's counsel and deliberation, it has been instituted by Christ. The Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, and the Creed keep their nature and worth, even if you never keep, pray, or believe them. So also this honorable sacrament remains undisturbed. Nothing is withdrawn or taken from it, even though we use and administer it unworthily. Do you think God cares about what we do or believe, as though on that account he should allow his ordinance to be changed? Why, in all worldly matters, everything stays the way God has created and ordered it, no matter how we employ or use it. This point must always be taught, for by it the chatter of nearly all the fanatical spirits can be repelled, for they regard the sacraments, unlike God's word, as something we do." So now let's get into the question. What is the sacrament of the altar? It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, in and under the bread and wine, with which we Christians are commanded to eat and drink. Just as we have said in baptism is not simple water, so here also we say that through the sacrament is bread and wine, but it is not mere bread and wine, such as are ordinarily served at the table, but this is bread and wine included in and connected with God's word. It is the word, I say, that makes and sets the sacrament apart. So it is not mere bread and wine, but is and is called Christ's body and blood. For it is said, when the word is joined to the elements or natural substance, it becomes a sacrament. This saying of St. Augustine is so properly and so well put that he has scarcely said anything better. The word must make a sacrament out of the element, or else it remains a mere element. Now it is not the word or ordinance of a prince or emperor, but it is the word of the grand majesty, at whose feet all creatures should fall and affirm as he says, an acceptance with all reverence fear and humility, as stated in Isaiah 45:23 and Philippians 2:10. With this word, you can strengthen your conscience and say, if 100,000 devils together with all fanatics should rush forward crying, how can bread and wine be Christ's body and blood and such? I know that all spirits and scholars together are not as wise as the divine majesty in his little finger. Now here stands Christ's word. Take, eat, this is my body. Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, and so on. Here we stop to watch those who will call themselves his masters and make the matter different from what he has spoken. It is true indeed that if you take away the word or regard the sacrament without the words, you have nothing but mere bread and wine. But if the words remain with them, as they shall and must, then by virtue of the words, it is truly Christ's body and blood. What Christ's lips speak and say, so it is. He can never lie or deceive. This is what the sacrament of the altar is. It is the word of God that makes the bread and wine the vessels by which Christ's body and blood are there in, with, and under. So we have these words over and over again, in, with, and under the bread and wine. And it doesn't matter what we say, it is the bread and wine that are parts of the sacrament. We have many who want to say, well, no, we need to take away the wine. And I grew up with grape juice in there instead of wine because we can't have it, because we can't have the alcohol. We can't have something that God would deem as a sin being given to us. God never calls wine a sin. God calls drunkenness a sin, the excess of that. But when Jesus is at the wedding in Cana, does he turn the water into grape juice? No, he turns it into wine, and the best wine that the steward has ever tasted. So also, when we try to change what is there and given to us in the Word of God, we are going against God's Word. And this is a struggle that many congregations have, that we want to try to, especially for those who are recovering alcoholics, we don't want to have them fall back into their former sins and their former lives. And no, as pastors, we don't want that either. But again, we must understand that we cannot change the way God has instituted things. We cannot make it something else, because then it is something else and not what God has given to us. So you'll see again and again as we go through not only this part of the Large Catechism, but when we get to the Lord's Supper in the Formula of Concord, that there will be stressed bread and wine, because these are the things that Jesus gave us to use. All right, we pick up in paragraph 15 after that little diatribe of mine. It is easy to reply to all kinds of questions about which people are troubled at the present time, such as this one. Can even a wicked priest serve at and administer the sacrament? And whatever other questions like this there may be. For here we conclude and say, even though an impostor takes or distributes the sacrament, a person still receives the true sacrament, that is, Christ's true body and blood, just as truly as a person who receives or administers it in the most worthy way. For the sacrament is not founded upon people's holiness, but upon God's word. Just as no saint on earth, indeed no angel in heaven, can make bread and wine be Christ's body and blood, so also no one can change or alter it, even though it is misused. The word by which it became a sacrament and was instituted does not become false because of the person or his unbelief. For Christ does not say, if you believe or are worthy, you receive my body and blood. No, he says, take, eat, and drink. This is my body and blood. Likewise, he says, do this. That is, what I now do, institute, give, and ask you, take. That is like saying, no matter whether you are worthy or unworthy, you have here his body and blood by virtue of these words that are added to the bread and wine. Note and remember this well, for upon these words rest all our foundation, protection, and defense against all errors and deception that have ever come or yet may come. Here we have, can an unholy priest, an unholy pastor, give us communion? Yes, because it is nothing to do with the pastor's worthiness, your sinlessness, his sinlessness, your faith, his faith. The words given to the elements gives you Christ's body and blood. Again, he says, it is not like he says, if you believe or are worthy, you receive it. It's not that as the receptionists say, it doesn't become Christ's body and blood until it touches your tongue, if you believe. That puts it all on you. But the sacrament is pure gift. It is strictly based on God's word, not you, not your faith, not what you think things are or the way things should be. But this is God's word telling us this is what you are to do. All right, pick back up in paragraph 20. So we have in a brief way covered the first point that deals with this sacrament's essence. Now examine further the effectiveness and benefits that really caused the sacrament to be instituted. This is its most necessary part, so that we may know what we should seek and gain there. This is plain and clear from the words just mentioned. This is my body and blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Briefly, that is like saying, for this reason we go to the sacrament. There we receive such a treasure by and in which we gain forgiveness of sins. Why so? Because the words stand here and give us this. Therefore, Christ asks me to eat and drink, so that this treasure may be my own and may benefit me as a sure pledge and token. In fact, it is this very same treasure that is appointed for me against my sins, death, and every disaster. And again, he uses the words pledge and token, not as symbol or representation, but as a down payment. This is, as we say sometimes in the post-communion collect, the foretaste of the feast to come that we receive in Christ's body and blood. On account of this, it is indeed called a food of souls, which nourishes and strengthens the new man. For by baptism we are first born anew. But as we have said before, there still remains the old vicious nature of flesh and blood in mankind. There are so many hindrances and temptations of the devil and of the world that we often become weary and faint, and sometimes we also stumble. Hebrews 12:3. Therefore, the sacrament is given as a daily pasture and sustenance, that faith may refresh and strengthen itself. Psalm 23, verses 1 to 3, so that it will not fall back in such a battle, but ever become stronger and stronger. The new life must be guided so that it continually increases and progresses. But it must suffer much opposition, for the devil is such a furious enemy. When he sees that we oppose him and attack the old man, and that he cannot topple us over by force, he prowls and moves about on all sides, 1 Peter 5:8. He tries every trick and does not stop until he finally wears us out, so that we either renounce our faith or throw up our hands and put up our feet, becoming indifferent or impatient. Now to this purpose, the comfort of the sacrament is given when the heart feels that the burden is becoming too heavy, so that it may gain here new power and refreshment. Here we have something very important from paragraph 24. The sacrament is given as a daily pasture and sustenance. This becomes, again, what we saw back in the Augsburg Confession, that it is given and distributed at the churches every Lord's Day and every feast day of the saints, that this is a very common occurrence. Not that everyone always took it every time, but that it is offered and given so that faith may be strengthened, so that in our battle against the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, we may ever become stronger and stronger. This is the purpose of the Lord's Supper, so that we take it, so that we have that strength given to us. All right, we're going to conclude paragraphs 28 to 32 this week. But here our wise spirits twist themselves about with their great art and wisdom. They cry out and bawl, how can bread and wine forgive sins or strengthen faith? They hear and know that we do not say this about bread and wine, because in itself bread is bread. But we speak about the bread and wine that is Christ's body and blood and has the words attached to it. That, as we say, is truly the treasure and nothing else through which such forgiveness is gained. Now, the only way this treasure is passed along and made our very own is in the words given and shed for you. For in the words you have both truths, that it is Christ's body and blood, and that is yours as a treasure and gift. Now, Christ's body can never be unfruitful, empty thing that does not profit anything. Yet, no matter how great the treasure is in itself, it must be included in the word and administered to us. Otherwise, we would never be able to know or seek it. Therefore, also, it is useless talk when they say that Christ's body and blood are not given and shed for us in the Lord's Supper, so that we could not have forgiveness of sins in the sacrament. Although the work is done and forgiveness of sins is secured by the cross, John 19:30, it cannot come to us in any other way than through the word. How can we know about it otherwise, that such a thing was accomplished or was to be given to us unless it were presented by preaching or the oral word, Romans 10:17 and 1 Corinthians 1:21. How do they know about it? Or how can they receive and make the forgiveness their own unless they lay hold of and believe the scriptures and the gospel? But now the entire gospel and the article of the creed, I believe in the Holy Christian Church, the forgiveness of sins, and so on, are embodied by the word in this sacrament and presented to us. Why then should we let this treasure be torn from the sacrament when the fanatics must confess that these are the very words we hear everywhere in the gospel? They cannot say that these words in the sacrament are of no use, just as they dare not say that the entire gospel or God's word, apart from the sacrament, is of no use. All right, as we close out this first part of the Sacrament of the Altar in the Large Catechism, we talk about the words that are the most important in all of this, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This is what the Small Catechism talked about in the last three questions on the Sacrament of the Altar, focusing on given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Faith in those words is the treasure of this sacrament. Faith in those words give you exactly what the sacrament wants to give you, which is faith, forgiveness of sins, and life everlasting. And now I say, you know, believing in this is not saying that you have created this because of your faith, but you receive this as a gift because of your faith, because you believe in the Son of God who is offering you this gift. Just as you believe in any other gift, the intentions of the person giving it to you, that it is something for your good. And this is of your ultimate good because it is the food of souls, the medicine of immortality, as he will go on later to say. This is what gives you faith, love, hope, the forgiveness of sins, and ultimately everlasting life with Christ in heaven. This is what we pray for every time we receive the Lord's Supper. This is what we pray for every time we hear the word, is that we want the gift of God. That's it for this week as we start our look at the Large Catechism and the Sacrament of the Altar. I am Pastor Doug Minton, thanking you for standing in the confessional corner with me this week. Next week, we pick back up again with the Sacrament of the Altar so that we can continue to understand what it is that we receive and why it is very important and how it helps us wrestle with the theologies around us. Amen.